Listening Part 3. You are listening to a PowerPoint presentation. For each slide, there are one or more pieces of information you should note down. While listening, make notes on the right-hand side for items 65 to 74. Answer 0 is an example. You will hear the presentation only once. After listening to the recording, you will have 5 minutes to transfer your answers for items 65 to 74 to answer sheet S30. You will now have 1 minute to read the slides.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the Latin American History Association, I'd like to welcome you all to today's talk, Finding Machu Picchu. We are delighted to have David Martin, an expert on Machu Picchu, with us today. David's recent book on the subject was last year's winner of the prestigious Keller Prize for History. Welcome, David.
Thank you. I'd like to start off by saying what a pleasure it is to see so many of you here today. Machu Picchu is a topic that captures people's imaginations the world over and attracts many tourists to Peru. Situated high above the Urubamba River, some 2,430 meters above sea level, the city nestles between two mountains. They are Huayna Picchu and, of course, Machu Picchu, meaning the Great Peak, from which it took its name. Construction started around 1450, but 100 years later, the site was abandoned. The reason for this remains unclear to this day. It lay hidden, known only to locals for hundreds of years until its discovery. While we now know that Hiram Bingham was not the first explorer to visit the site, it was he who's credited with bringing it to international attention. In 1911, while searching for another lost Inca city, he was led to what remained of Machu Picchu. This incredible discovery meant years of exploration had paid off. Not long after, he returned to the United States and announced his great find to a group of historians at Yale University. Excavations began a year later, and photographs of the site were published in newspapers around the world. Bingham himself soon realized that he had stumbled upon one of the most important ruins in South America. By 1976, 30% of the site had been restored. It was no easy task, as the jungle had grown up over most of it, and the perilous location made it difficult for supplies and tools to be brought up from the valley far below. Initially, most of the work involved cutting back the trees and scrub to reveal what was hidden beneath. In 1983, Machu Picchu was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site, a title given to places of great cultural or natural importance that deserve to be protected and preserved. The Spanish conquistadors unfortunately destroyed most of the cities built by the Inca civilization. Machu Picchu managed to escape their attention and survives as one of the most recognized sites in South America. In 2007, an international internet poll was carried out, and Machu Picchu was voted one of the new seven wonders of the world. This brought even more interest from tourists, thousands of whom climbed the many stone steps and pathways to marvel at this archaeological masterpiece. However, tourism has its disadvantages, and in 2009, a warning was sounded. The World Monuments Fund revealed that Machu Picchu had now joined the list of 100 most endangered sites in the world. Over the next few years, the number of daily visitors to the site is expected to double, as new infrastructure makes getting there easier. And while tourism is essential to the Peruvian economy, bringing in an estimated 450 million euros a year, people are now realizing that uncontrolled expansion could cause irreversible damage. There are three main environmental dangers facing Machu Picchu. The rapid, uncontrolled development of the neighboring town of Aguas Calientes is a cause for concern. Here, in a rush to cope with the flood of tourists, hotels, guest houses, and restaurants have been built, often without the appropriate planning permission. Trees are cut down illegally, and garbage is being dumped into the river, causing illnesses in livestock for local farmers. The second danger revolves around the transportation infrastructure, developed to improve access to the site, which has introduced all manner of vehicles to the area. A highway, a modern bridge over the Urubamba, train lines, all constructed to increase the amount of people, goods, and building materials that could be delivered to this out-of-reach place. Another danger, which is less often reported, is the damage to local plants and wildlife. With all eyes on the impressive stone walls and temples, it's easy to overlook the importance of the region's flora and fauna. More than 90 species of orchids and a large number of endangered species of animal are found here. Bears, condors, wildcats, and ocelots can all be seen, though it is believed that their numbers have dropped greatly in recent years. Deforestation is forcing them to find new homes and altering a landscape that remained the same for hundreds of years. Hiram Bingham would indeed be surprised if he could see how things had changed. What hasn't changed is the fact we are no closer to identifying the reason for building Machu Picchu than we were in Bingham's time. There are three main theories. One is that it was a fortress, a safe place that was easy to defend from enemies due to its strategic location. Many fortresses were built throughout the Inca Empire, which stretched from Colombia in the north to Chile in the south. They are one of the key reasons this tribe of farmers came to rise to such power. Others claim that it was a pilgrimage site, where worshippers could pray to the sun god, who they believed was their divine ancestor. They called themselves the children of the sun and offered human sacrifices to preserve their empire and guarantee their leader a long life. While there is no evidence of this at Machu Picchu, it is known to be an integral part of their religious traditions. Another idea, which in recent years has grown in popularity, is that the site was the royal retreat of the emperor Pachacuti, a kind of holiday resort where he and his guests could go to escape the weather of Cusco, 100 kilometers away, and relax, hunt, and enjoy the natural beauty. Some of the buildings have been identified as temples, but many were residences and storage halls. While today it is the most famous of the Inca ruins, it was a relatively small city, which had a population of 500 or 600 at most. Despite all we know, from over 100 years of study and research, many mysteries remain. Scientists still ask how the Incas got the huge rocks up there without having used wheels or large animals for pulling. Those interested in architecture will spend many hours admiring the walls fitted together so closely, not even a knife blade could pass through. These people were indeed some of the best masons the world has ever seen. Another question centers on the inhabitants themselves. Where did they come from? Remains of tools and pottery have been found there from every corner of the realm. Did they come from the inhabitants or from those who visited the site to relax or pray? And why, after building such a beautiful city in this dangerous and difficult to reach spot, did they abandon it less than 100 years later? Was it due to the Spanish invasion, a local war, or an outbreak of some disease? Some say it was ordered by their gods. These are the questions you will ponder as you make your way around the site, marveling at the beauty found in every corner of this once lost city. But one thing is sure, no visitor comes away from Machu Picchu feeling disappointed. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We will now take a break for refreshments, and when we return, we will continue our presentation with our new insight.
You now have 5 minutes to transfer your answers for items 65 to 74 to answer sheet S30. End of the listening subtest.